Claim your offer.
Greenville University provides a Christ-centered education and equips students with the skills and knowledge needed to not just succeed in the marketplace, but also to serve our communities. Over the last 3 years, Greenville University pre-med students have a 100% acceptance rate in a medical school. At Greenville, 100% of students receive financial aid, including the Panther Preferred Scholarship that is awarded to 100 students for character, service, and perseverance. With a 14-to-1 student-to-faculty ratio, you will get the attention you deserve. Go to greenville.edu to learn more.
Hi, this is Tim Woodward. I'm celebrating 10 years of being a PI with a new book, Bad Mood, Good Mood. It's 50 hilarious and true stories of the life of a PI. It's a great $15 stocking stuffer, or send someone an e-version or an audiobook version for just $13. Check it out online, badmoodgoodmood.com.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet?
Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter?
That was for you, Vic.
And that happy
tune. Send that star-spangled banner out to a listener named Vic.
Life can be so sweet.
Wrote me an email, and I said, hey,
sunny
great minds think alike.
Street.
I was going to start with that anyway.
In shape with those blues on the rain, but I'm not afraid. This rover.
I mean, here's the thing: only hot guys are typically named Trevor.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh my goodness! Well, how deep did you have to dig to find that?
Oh, I've got it titled. I know exactly where it is.
Gold dust at
my
feet.
Oh my goodness. The only time in the history of the world that those words have been spoken.
So like I said, Vic, who's a listener, sent me an email and said, boy, it'd be great if you start the Veterans Day show with the Gaither Vocal Band. That's who that was. And their rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. Bill Gaither is a prolific gospel music writer and a singer. And he put this band together called the Gaither Vocal Band, and they sound fantastic. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our Veterans Day show. Veterans Day was officially yesterday, but we're not on the air on Sunday. We've asked to be, but they won't let us.
No, but it's being
I mean, Dan, how many times over the years have you've been with me when we went in and begged to work on Sunday?
Oh, I can't count the time.
30?
Oh, at least.
In fact, 31. 31, huh? 31 times.
You just said, how many times were we in bed together?
Really?
No, I didn't say that.
Well, Limey thinks you did, and I think you did.
Really?
No, you need to get your hearing checked.
We both do?
I laughed. All I did was laugh.
Okay.
I'm sitting on the fence.
Been together, not bed together. We've been together.
Today,
the point is, we couldn't do this show yesterday because they wouldn't let us work on Sunday.
Today's the official observance, though, for
True.
Veterans
True.
Day. banks are closed and all the workers.
I don't think. Are the banks closed?
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah, I think so.
The post office was.
Post office is closed.
Okay. The post office closed pretty much meant that the...
post office is closed to humans, but I went in there today and did their self-serve kiosk and still was able to send something out.
Oh?
Only the humans don't show up.
Humans don't work.
Machines
robots,
still gotta work.
Machines are always on the job.
All right.
So here's what's going to happen today. We do this every year. Most of this we do on what we call the Veterans Day show. Still the same show, still a playhouse, still a joke. Maybe two jokes today. Veteran jokes, soldier jokes, whatever. But I also... every year when we do this, and again, more so than Memorial Day or 4th of July, this is the big one to me. And so what we do is, over the years, we've compiled some great songs. In fact, we have so many, we can't play today, but maybe a fifth of what we have that, you know, we've played over the years. So we just have to pick and choose. There is one song I will play today because I did a little digging, and I have a lot of really interesting information on Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler. Last year and the year before, we told you a little about him and who he was, but I have some things to add to that this year. Barry Sadler he actually went into the Air Force and then got out and went into the Army, re-enlisted. And he had a huge hit. Limey's too young to realize it. Dan barely makes it, but I'm pretty sure it was 1966. This thing was on the charts for several weeks at number one, and he sold 9 million records. Just a single of Ballad of the Green Beret. So, or berets, I think is the official title, plural. So we'll get to that. We will absolutely play More Than a Name on the Wall by the Statler Brothers. I hope we have time to also play, I want to play American Soldier, Toby Keith, because, and here's the thing you'll notice, folks. You say, well, you just love country music. Over the last couple of days, I looked around, I Googled, I went on sites, best patriotic songs. If you hate country music, I hate to tell you this, but about 95% of the great patriotic songs, even that are listed on various websites, are by country artists. And the few songs that are supposed to be patriotic by heavy metal groups or other, you can't understand any of the words in the song. I tried to include a couple of them. So, you know, like country or hate country, it is the patriotic genre of music. So Toby Keith, American Soldier, Billy Ray Cyrus, Some Gave All. And there's a song that I think we played for the first time last year. It's 50,000 Names Carved on the Wall by George Jones. And the king of sad country singing was George Jones. If you wanted somebody to make you tear up, George could do it. George had a crying voice. He could cry sing. So could, interestingly, his wife of many, many, many years ago, Tammy Wynette. She could do the same thing. You could hear them crying as they're singing. And there's 50,000 names carved on the wall. Since we are doing Veterans Day, Limestone, do you have that handy?
Yep, give me a second.
I'm going to go a little out. There is no order. I'm going to set out of order. There is no order. We will get to the Burke segment. We will. But some listener called this song to my attention only a year or two ago, and I don't know how this one escaped me. Very similar in a sense to the Statler Brothers' More Than a Name on the Wall, because it's about the Vietnam Wall. Who here has seen the Vietnam Wall?
I have.
How do you describe the power? I don't know when you were there, who else was there, but I watched people go up and place personal belongings of the dead fallen son or husband at the base of this memorial, and I watched people taking paper and tracing the name on a piece of paper off the wall. What do you remember?
I was 12 years old, and we went and saw President Reagan speak, and my father was out there, who just passed away, of course, and he took me over to the wall, and we started to walk there together, and then he told me to hold my little brother, who was about two at the time, and maybe go stand by a tree. He wouldn't let us be next to him while he went and visited the wall. It was a very emotional time for him. He didn't want us to see him react in whatever way that he reacted there. So
that's old school. Mm-hmm. You don't want your kids to see you cry. You're a man. Well, we'll do the Berks. I want to play this. I was tempted to not play the song and just read you the lyrics. I think what I'll do both. And now, if you've never been to Washington, if you do go, I absolutely think two things you have to see in Washington are the changing of the guard at Arlington Cemetery and this Vietnam Wall. 50,000 people killed is a lot of people. It is. And you don't even, I mean, you know that, ooh, that's a big number, that's Phil Bush Stadium, but until you see their names all printed out, it's overwhelming. How many people died in that Vietnam thing? Here are the words to the song, because I want you, when you hear the song, to get every word. And the song is essentially about what you observe when you go to the Vietnam Wall and what people bring there. Here are the lyrics. There's teddy bears and high school rings, old photographs that mamas bring, of daddies with their young boys playing ball. There's combat boots he used to wear when he was sent over there. There's 50,000 names carved in the wall. There's cigarettes and cans of beer and notes that say, I miss you, dear. And children who don't say anything at all. There's Purple Hearts and packs of gum. Fatherless daughters and fatherless sons. 50,000 names carved in the wall. They come from all across this land in pickup trucks and minivans, searching for a boy from long ago. They scan the wall and find his name. Then the teardrops fall like pouring rain. Then silently they leave a gift and go. There's Stars of David and rosary beads, crucifixion figurines, flowers of all colors, large and small. There's a Boy Scout badge and a merit pin, little American flags waving in the wind. And 50,000 names carved in a wall. Now I'm going to let George Jones sing it. Here is George Jones, 50,000 names.
There's teddy bears and high school rings and old photographs that mamas bring. The daddies with their young boys playing ball. There's combat boots that he used to wear when he was sent over there. There's 50,000 names carved in the wall. There's cigarettes and there's cans of beer and notes that say I miss you, dear. And children who don't say anything at all. There's Purple Hearts and packs of gum. Fatherless daughters and fatherless sons. And there's 50,000 names carved in the wall. They come from all across this land in pickup trucks and minivans, searching for a boy from long ago.
and go.
There are stars of David and rosary beads and crucifixion figurines and flowers of all colors, large and small. There's a Boy Scout badge and American, little American flags waving in the wind, and there's 50,000 names carved in the wall. There's 50,000 names carved in the wall.
Nobody sings sad like George Jones. Well, what a great song. Thank you, whoever you are listening out there, who called that song to my attention just a couple of years ago. I don't know. I don't know how I missed it. I'd like to just quickly address, because I know that there's a significant number of you listening, every Vietnam veteran listening, every World War II veteran, and we have very few of them left, Korean War, Afghanistan, Iraq, whatever you did, wherever you went. And I'm speaking particularly to people who saw combat. That's not to diminish the role that the motor pool people have, the mechanics have, the clerks. I understand all that. But to you who served in combat and lost someone or something, someone meaning a fellow soldier, a buddy of yours, or you lost part of your mind, on behalf of a grateful nation, I don't know how you did it. I've watched Saving Private Ryan. I've watched a lot of movies based on fact. I've watched a lot of documentaries. I've seen a lot of, as many people have, actual footage from battle. I don't know how you did it. You are all made of something I'm not made of. I would like to think that I am, but I'm not. I think I would have been a pitiful soldier, combat soldier. I don't think I'd have lasted half a day. I'd have been taken out or done something stupid and gotten myself killed. I don't know how you did it. The pressure, the stress, the fact that, you know, our own military, in many cases, got you addicted to cigarettes, let you just smoke dope, do drugs, whatever, just anything to keep you going and keep your mind off of what you were having to do. Put all that together, plus the trauma of what you had to see, and the stuff that got into your system. That's where a lot of the people started smoking was, my dad told me, I mean, he never picked up a cigarette. He went in the Navy. They had cigarettes in his little packet of stuff. So you were exposed to a lot, and you had a lot happen to you. You have every right to be a little bit messed up psychologically. You do. And we thank you. On one hand, I never saw combat. I'm technically an Army veteran, but I've told you before that I don't stand up when they say, you know, veterans of the Navy, stand up. I never do, because I think there are categories of veteran. I think you have the heroes and you have the hardcore combat. People weren't necessarily heroes just because they were in there, but they did what they had to do, and you have levels. The bottom level veteran to me is me. So I feel on one hand lucky that I didn't have to see duty in Vietnam, and on the other hand guilty, if that makes sense. Lucky, guilty. If I had it to do over, would I feel better if I'd gone over there? I don't know. I'd probably not. The whole time I'd be over there, all I'd be thinking about is getting back home, which I think is what most people over there think about. So thank you again. We don't know how you did what you did. That is not a level of trauma and exposure to violence that you can ever be trained for. You can't possibly be ready for what you faced. You couldn't have been prepared for that. So that's all. I just, especially the Vietnam crowd, isn't it a shame that you people didn't really get any respect or thanks until recently, the last few years, the way you were treated when you came back? I'm embarrassed for this country that they did that to you. So I guess in time, unfortunately, there have been some of those people have passed away, so they never got to see the turnaround and the gratitude and the thanks from people here. So that's it. Burke segment. Does anybody have anything to say?
Not really.
Awfully quiet.
I have a quick one.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Woodburn. Tim, it's all yours. You're welcome.
So it's snowing today, and it reminds me of the last time it snowed in the St. Louis area last year when this kid who lives two houses down from me, I don't think it was a very bright, sunny, shiny day, and it was about 10 in the morning, and I was standing in my robe, drinking a cup of coffee, looking out my front door, and it was so bright that I don't think this kid could tell that I was just kind of standing there gazing out into the yard and watching the snowfall.
Was your robe open when you were looking at
the
young man?
It was not. It was not open.
Because that would be sick. That would be sick.
I wasn't looking at the young man. I was looking at my yard, and he happened to come into my view. Right. So it wasn't like I was staring at him.
Right.
Okay. Now
I'm standing in my door with my robe on, and this young man just popped in front of my view.
Let me start the story over. The last time it snowed, I had a three-piece suit on, and I was standing behind my front door and drinking a cup of coffee, and this, he might have been 10, 11, 12 years old. I'm not sure why he picked me out, but he rolled up a big, fat, juicy snowball. He walked past my neighbor's house toward my house, and he wound up, and this kid had a good arm, and he threw, and he just smashed a snowball right against my front door, right against my front screen door.
While you're standing there?
But he couldn't, I don't think there's no way he could have told, he could tell I was standing there, because it was so bright, it was so sunny out. The way the glare
and the reflection off the glass, correct. I'm assuming,
correct.
Yeah, he might not.
So, I have to make an immediate response at that time, and my response can be to laugh it off. Oh, kids will be kids,
your robe,
or walk out in my three-piece suit and yell at them, or run out the front door, pick up a snowball of my own in my three-piece suit, and chase him down the street and try and hit him back.
I would have done that.
That's what I did.
You did?
I did. Yeah. So once this kid realized that this hulking 6 foot tall burly dude was behind the door in a three piece suit / robe, and had seen what he did, he had this horrified look on his face, and he went and made a beeline for his driveway, and he slipped and fell in the street, and he went down to one knee, which allowed a cat like quickness guy like me to get even closer to him with the snowball that I had scooped up in my front yard. And I mean, I had a good arm when I played high school baseball. I was a catcher. I was a third baseman. I had a good arm. I heaved a missile. I heaved a missile at this kid, and he had just gotten back up to his feet, and he's scampering. He's looking over his shoulder with the fear of death in him. And I missed him by about 2 inches.
You heaved a missile at him, and then you threw a snowball at him too?
Yeah, yeah.
Dan, show everybody how close he came. He said he missed him by 2 inches.
Oh, here you go.
That's it. 2 inches. Wow. 2 inches wide. And I missed him. And it would have been one of my funniest moments of life, but instead it was like Lucy pulling the football back from Charlie Brown and missing the ball. And I just put my face in the air and went, "Arr!"
Yeah, well, guess what? You did yourself a favor. When did this all happen?
Last year. Last time it snowed.
Well, we live in the litigious society. And everybody sues everybody. Had you hit the kid, you may very well be looking at court time. So, good that you missed him. I'm serious. He runs, tells his parents, big guy with his robe open, exposing himself to me, hitting me with a snowball.
Then he threw a snowball up and tried to hit it with his wiener.
They call the police, and next thing, yeah, you're lucky you didn't hit it.
I'm a revenge-minded guy. I can't stand it when somebody wrongs me, and I don't do anything to try and wrong them back.
Yeah.
It's really a, It is what it is.
I was that way my whole life up until the last two or three years.
Then what happened?
Well, a series of things happened. And I realized that sometimes you get revenge, you make things a whole lot worse than if you just let it go. But I was you. I mean, I was that guy.
I wasn't angry though. I was in playful mood, but I was in like, you know, this kid clearly targeted my house because I saw him pick the snowball up well to the right of my neighbor to my right's house. Why didn't he hit his door? Oh no, he had to walk past that house and he targeted me in my house.
Wow. Maybe he didn't like you for some reason.
Well, that's
could possibly be a hate crime. You don't know.
Yeah.
Hating what? Fat?
I have
no
idea.
He doesn't like fat.
Maybe he doesn't like big white
guys. Maybe when he saw you in the door with your robe, he thought, well, I got to get rid of that guy, get him away from the door because he's going to expose himself to young girls or something. Maybe he was trying to save the community from some weirdo.
I should have left the robe completely out of the
story.
Yes,
you should have.
Nothing to do with the story.
Yes, you should
have. Nothing to do with it. Too late now. Let me ask you a question. Are you telling me that the three male content bunch of ne'er-do-wells I do this show with doesn't have a revengeful bone in their body?
Oh, absolutely.
Would they would have reacted similarly?
Yeah, I would have.
Of course. Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, we didn't say we wouldn't have reacted similarly. We just said, glad you missed it.
Oh,
better
okay.
off. Yeah.
No, I would have taken my door off the hinges and thrown it at the kid.
I don't like little punks. I don't like punk kids that do stuff like that. I just don't. And people, well, you're just being a kid. I didn't do that when I was a kid. I didn't throw. By the way, you
just
pack a snowball tight enough.
Motorbike.
It's like you pack a snowball tight enough. It's like a piece of glass. It's like a snow globe. I mean, it's deadly.
Oh, it could have broke the glass in your
snow
door. Yeah.
He just didn't know how to make a good snowball. The snow was probably too fluffy, and you couldn't compact. It wasn't wet enough. Had it been, you could have broken the glass, put your eye out, all kinds of stuff could have happened. But I don't like punks. I don't like guys. But what's interesting was he was by himself. Usually that crap takes place when they're with their buddies.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, watch this with this guy's door. At least I got to give him credit for having the cojones to do it by himself. You know? He didn't have to be with his gang.
Because he thought he could get away with it.
It was the neighbor that he walked past.
The guy to my right, and he lives two houses down to my right, and he walked right past his house and purposely targeted my house.
Mm. Well, the neighbor's robe was closed. So he didn't have his robe on.
Maybe his dad probably knows the neighbor next door, and if he would have found out.
I don't think that's the case at all. I think I have a bad reputation in my neighborhood because I get mad at people when their dogs aren't leashed, and my dogs are leashed when I'm walking them, and their dogs attack my dogs.
Oh,
and so I guess I kind of got the reputation of being the a-hole of the neighborhood because I get more traumatized than the dogs do because there's a leash law, right? And people ride their bikes with their dog running alongside. I bet I've had 10 incidents where somebody's dog has attacked I have two terrier dogs, one's 22 pounds, one 14 pounds, and they have been attacked at least 10 times in the 9 years I lived in that house because of people's dogs unleashed. Looking at my dog as a snack and coming at him and literally grabbing him. Seriously, it's like sinking your teeth into a chicken quarter at KFC. You know, you go right where that thigh meets the leg, and they always go for the same spot every time. And I punted one dog. One dog had his mouth around my dog's left hind quarter because I walk with headphones on, right? And the next thing I know, I feel this tug, and there's this little bulldog who's got his teeth around my dog's left hind quarter, and I put a left tennis shoe into this dog's rib cage. If he'd have been a football, he'd have been good from 40 yards through the uprights. You know, and the dog went flying about 5 feet up in the air, and he skidded along the ground, and my dog was fine, and then the neighbor comes out, "What are you doing to my dog?" You know, and I'm like,
"Oh, no. If your dog is off the leash and attacks mine, I will happily kick it as much as I need to. Mm-hmm. I am on your side."
I've had dogs bust through fences, like wooden fences before, and attack my dogs.
Wow.
Bust through a fence.
Your dogs are hated. Well, the other dogs.
You know,
what color are they?
Black with,
black and blue.
Yeah.
You see where Limey's going with
this? It's a race issue.
He thinks it's a racist issue with the dogs in my neighborhood going after the black dog.
It's 2018, man.
Mostly white neighborhood, black dog. I get it, Lyman.
I've only kicked a dog into the air one time in my life, and it was, I'll tell you exactly when it was. 19 years ago. My daughter was 11. We had bought her a West Highland Terrier, a white Westie, snow white, the most gorgeous dog. We had seen it on a can of dog food. There's some dog food that has a white West Highland Terrier on it. We said, go out that dog. So we went to a breeder. It's a purebred, all that crap. This dog, when it was bred, however it was bred, somehow they injected, you know, when they do that insemination, they must have injected the seed of Satan in the dog, because this dog was the meanest. I saw this dog sink his teeth into my daughter's back. She rolled over on the floor, and he tore into her back. I kicked that dog, like Tim said, in the rib cage. It went up in the air, hit the wall.
Slid down and
stood up and looked at me. Like, not only am I not hurt, I will get you. I'm going to eat your face off while you're sleeping because you kicked me. It didn't hurt him. He didn't limp. He didn't. He just. Like, now you've really done it. Yeah. We immediately went after that backbiting thing happened. That dog was gone. I think we turned it over to Dr. Doug and just said, here, find a home for this little satanic monster because he's out of here. And he was the cutest. That's what was so weird. He was the cutest dog I've ever seen. Looked just like the perfect lovable. Carry him around. He'll be your little buddy. Now, that dog had other ideas, and I think dogs, like people, can be mentally deficient. I do.
You know, the last guy I did a radio show with years ago in Kentucky, his wife had a dog for about 13 years, and this dog never bit, nipped anybody, ever did anything. They had a party one night, and they served pork chops, and there were some pork chop bones that were in the trash can. Mm-hmm. This dog got up, lifted its nose up, got into the thing, and got a bone in its mouth. Mm-hmm. She reached down to grab the bone out of this dog's mouth. After having owned it for 13 years, this dog turned on her like Damien in The Omen 3. This dog went, and he bit into her hand. She had to take a 30-day leave of absence, and she was on an IV drip in her bed for a month because she had some kind of nasty, awful disease where that dog's teeth got into the pores of the skin of her hand, and they had to get the dog away. It's like the dog, after 13 years of nothing but loving TLC, the dog snapped one time, and that's all it takes for people to get rid of a dog is one incident.
But like human, people snap. Some guy, 48 years old. No history, no record, all of a sudden snaps, whatever, goes in, decides to just take some people. I mean, I think dogs are capable of that, too. Did you have anything else?
That's it.
I don't have any snow. You had a snowball story. I don't have one snow story from my life. Nothing ever really happened. We'd sled, you know, use a trash can lid, and that's it.
My favorite snowball story would probably be when I was about...
Is this Burke's segment?
No, this isn't Burke's segment.
Well, then let's close the Burke's segment. All right. Because nobody has it. You have to do this officially. Burke's segment is officially closed, and now Limey has a story.
I was about 7 or 8 years old, and I was hanging out with my grandmother for the day. We were at her house.
That is a good, you know what? That's a good awesome story. I didn't think you'd have anything, but that's a good story.
I don't think you
gave your age, hanging out with your what?
I think there's more.
There is more. I'm sorry. Thanks for that, Dan.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So I was kind of hanging out, watching TV, you know, just trying to behave and be quiet, and all of a sudden I heard this, like, thump on the kitchen window, and there was a snowball stuck. So I'm like, what the hell's going on? So, you know, it was a bit high up. I had to grab a chair.
How old were you?
About 7.
And you say, what the hell? As a 7-year-old, you talk like that?
I probably would have said, what was that? That is exactly right.
Little seven-year-old Limey say, what the bloody hell?
I called my grandmother. I was like, Granny, what the effing bloody F is this? MF-er, huh? So, yeah.
Wow.
And but at first I was a little bit nervous. I thought it was some, like, you know, kids picking on my grandmother or something like that. And turns out it was my dad. He was outside. He had rolled up a bunch of snowballs, and he was trying to get my attention. And, of course, I ran out, and I played in the snow with him, and we got to make a snowman. And, yeah, I still remember that. I remember exactly where he was standing as well, right after he threw the snowball. It was cool.
The only great memory that I have of snow was when I was a kid in Tennessee, and if we got like a foot or so, maybe more, we made snow ice cream, which essentially is exactly the same as homemade ice cream. It's eggs and milk and vanilla extract and sugar, and you just pile snow in it until it becomes like a slush. And we called it snow cream. It was fantastic. It tastes just like homemade vanilla ice cream. It was just snow instead of cranking a freezer. You just kept putting snow in there until it was a hard... And then you stick it in the freezer. You put it in the freezer for, you know, half an hour, and now it's a real sort of firm slush or snow cone kind of thing.
Reminds me of a story of something that didn't happen that I blamed on the snow that made me look good, which was last year before I joined this show. I tripped over one of my dogs, and I took a header about 8 steps down a 13-step incline, and my wrist, I put my hand out to break my fall, and my wrist completely snapped in half. I broke my wrist. I was in a cast for 6 weeks, and it had snowed that weekend. Well, I'm not going to tell anybody I was dumb enough to trip over a dog and fall down the steps of my own house. And so within 2 days, that story came out to be a woman was walking with her groceries across the street, and she tripped and fell in the snow. And I stopped my car, and I rushed over to her aid and got her out of the way before traffic could hit her in the snow. And I saved her and her groceries, and I tripped and fell while I was dragging her to safety, and that's how I broke my wrist.
Hero. Yeah. You're a hero. At least that version of the story. How does that tie into the snow ice cream thing?
It doesn't. It just ties into...
It involves snow.
It involves a good snow story.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. Now, I didn't mean to interrupt you. We don't interrupt each other on this show. I apologize.
I would like to interrupt everybody real quick. I don't have a Burke segment, but this is what I was going to talk about today, because I found out earlier on my way into work, and it's kind of heartbreaking. They mention it in the news at the top of the hour. But Stan Lee, the creator of Spider-Man, X-Men, the Hulk, and all that, he passed away today at the age of 95. And as a big comic book fan, like, I think I've been reading comic books as far back as I can remember, ever since I started reading. And it's, I gotta say, that was not a nice thing to hear today, kind of like...
Yeah, but he was 95.
He was 95, like, but, you know, you're not really kind of ready for it. I knew it was coming because he was getting up there in age. I was kind of hoping he would do one more cameo in his movies, but oh well. So yeah,
Stanley. See, that's interesting. I don't even know who that is. I don't think I've ever read a comic book in my life.
I have never read a comic book. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of comics. Yeah,
that is really interesting to me, because you're not just reading. You have to look at the little picture and then the bubble words coming out of the guy's mouth, and then look at another little drawing. And I don't know. I guess I never saw one that really just caught me and that I wanted to read more about. It's just kind of, they're all the same to me.
The comics you probably are a little too old for now. I would recommend picking up these movies that are out, you know, like Captain America and Iron Man and things like that. I'd recommend going back and watching them. I think they're pretty good movies that you'll like.
Okay. I actually took my grandson to see a Captain America. He's the guy with the circular shield, right, or something? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We went to see one of those. It was all right. It would have been better if I'd known the characters, but I didn't know the characters. I'll tell you what, I don't want to get away from the Veterans Day. Josh Bauman is coming in. He's our tech guy now. So he'll come in. We'll talk a little tech talk. And
also,
just along the way, I'm going to pep what?
Charlie wanted to chime in on... part of what Tim was talking about dogs.
Okay, we can do that. Mm-hmm. Charlie, welcome to 590 The Fan.
Hey, guys.
Charlie.
How are you today?
Good, Charlie. What you got?
So, you know, Tim was talking about his dogs getting attacked and stuff. My mom and dad used to live behind my grandparents, and since they were, you know, aunts and uncles and stuff, all the cousins would run up and down the hill back and forth between houses. And my mom and dad had a Rottweiler. And he was real protective over family, and he knew what family was what. And the neighbor's house down had a little shih tzu. And they came running down the hill, and the shih tzu followed. And Max knew exactly how long of a tow chain he had. And as soon as that dog got in the middle of it, that dog was no more.
Oh.
End up breaking its back, ribs, all kinds of stuff. My dad actually got out there with a piece of Lexan, you know, and beat the hell out of the dog because he wouldn't let go of the other dogs. And finally got let go. The owners came up and threatened to sue my parents. They actually sued my parents for the dog. And they said since the dog wasn't contained on a chain, that my mom and dad were at no fault.
No, so their dog was where it was supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Our dog was in the yard on a leash in the yard, and
the other dog was running around. Yeah, no, that's a slam dunk. Yeah. That should be a dismissed case. But people to sue people now. Yeah. People love to sue people. That's a
very easy word.
Yeah, it's evil because it's easy to do. Charlie, was there anything else?
Yeah, real quick. So Limey was talking about Stan Lee dying, which that's terrible. Research. I think he did cameos for like 15 movies ahead of time in case he were to die.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
I think so. I read that a few years ago that he did cameos for like 15 upcoming movies. Obviously, they didn't release any titles. I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere.
I think that's brilliant. You go ahead and do some cameos that you know can be inserted no matter what the future script is. They'll find a way to work it in. I think that's great.
Hey, Charlie, someone just called, too, a few minutes ago and said that very thing, that there are at least four movies where you'll see his cameo on there.
Yeah,
on the four movies.
He went out and did, I think he was contracted for like 15 more.
Wow.
Wow.
I think. Not 100%.
Well, I'm going to research that, but thank you. Yeah.
All right, Charlie. Yeah, thank you for the call. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Yeah. Boy, I'm not going to have time to do what I wanted to do, I don't think. Let me do some business. You break real quickly, and if we come back and have time, I'll do it. If not, I'll do it at the top of the next hour. Josh won't mind because it is Veterans Day. Let me get some business out of the way. The business of Mark and Jason. Mark and Jason are two people who have been giant supporters of this show for the last 17, 18 years, something like that. Never missed a beat. You hear them every day. Mark Rudin and Jason Becker are financial advisors. This is one of those things that's easy to put off in your life. You're in your 20s. We'll start making some kind of plan when we're in our 30s. We'll put a plan together for, emergencies and retirement. And then the 30s comes along, and you're kind of at your peak, and you're beyond just an adult, and you're doing pretty well, and you want to take a bunch of vacations and spend money and have a new car, two new cars, and we'll plan later in our 40s, and then your 40s and 50s. The sooner you have a plan, sort of a goal, the better. Time gets away from you. You can't get it back. And people talk about, investing or saving in terms of retirement all the time. What about in terms of just something special that comes along you might be able to invest in or get in on or buy in part of a business, or you just flat out want to take a big fat cruise, or an emergency pops up, a medical emergency, something devastating, you got some money. Not having money is not fun, not a good thing. They would be more than happy to meet with you, but you have to call and set up the meeting. It's complimentary. It's not going to cost you anything. If you have $25,000 or more, show them what you're doing with it. Take your portfolio and say, here, we got this money, and here's what we're doing with it. If it's smart stuff, they'll tell you that. If they have a better idea, they'll tell you that. And don't assume that they'll automatically go, we have a better idea. It doesn't work that way. Not with them. They're with Stifel, and Stifel is a member of the SIPC and the NYSE. If you want more information, you know where to go. I hope by now, markandjason.com.
It's time for a check on traffic with Tori Lyons.
Traffic is sponsored by Sinex. Accident reported westbound 64 on the ramp to Clayton Morrison. You're slow eastbound 64 at the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for volume southbound 270-64 to Doherty Ferry and stop and go eastbound 270 between McDonald and New Florissant. If you've got the dreaded stuffy nose this cold and flu season, try Sinex nasal spray. A couple of quick sprays of Sinex and it starts to work in seconds. Be ready when congestion strikes. Sinex nasal spray, use as directed. I'm Tori Lyons, reporting for 590 The Fan. Now back to the large morning show in the afternoon.
When you go out to dinner, it should be magical. There are lots of good restaurants in St. Louis, but tonight, we want great. Picture a place where there's the smell of Grecian shrimp, pork chops, hand-cut fillets, and veal coming from an ancient-looking Greek oven in a beautiful dining room with the service fit for a king and a queen. You just discovered Spiro's in St. Charles, where the dining experience is unique and unparalleled, where Spiro's believes the best food is meant to be shared, so the portions are designed for a communal dining experience. Sample remastered Mediterranean dishes prepared by master chefs. Then share this experience with friends, family, and loved ones. You have found Spiro's in St. Charles, and dining out will never be the same until you come back. Spiro's at 2275 Bluestone Drive in St. Charles, off First Capital. During the holidays, think of Spiro's for catering and your corporate and private party needs. Daytime bookings are available.
I'm coming home, I'm coming. I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Home, I'm coming home. Coming home from across the sea. Home, I'm coming home. No more marching and fighting for me. I am a soldier, a coming home soldier. No purple heart do I wear on my chest. I'm just a soldier, a coming home soldier. I'm coming home, I'm coming home. The girl I left behind has been waiting patiently. She said she didn't mind, 'cause I was helping to keep our land free. A coming home soldier. No purple heart do I wear on my chest. I'm just a soldier, a coming home soldier. I know that I've done my best.
I'm coming home, I'm coming. I'm coming home, I'm coming home.
Bobby Venton on this Veterans Day special edition, large morning show in the afternoon, sort of a tribute to all veterans, those who have gone and those who are still with us. Bobby Venton, I guess if you're under 40 or under 50, certainly you wouldn't know it, but was a huge star. Bobby Venton had a whole string of hits, and that was one. They had Red Roses for a Blue Lady. Shoot, I could, they're like
was
20
that,
of them, I
was
think.
Was that one a hit? That, I'm Coming Home?
Soldier? When you say hit, I think it made the top 40. I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up.
Out of all of the songs we've played over the years, that is by far my least favorite.
The Bobby Venton song?
Yeah.
Well, it's not my favorite either.
Yeah.
It's not about whether it's not the greatest song in the world. It's the message in there.
Yeah.
Oh, I understand. Yeah, left a girl behind. It's the lyrics that I like about the song. I'm not wild about the song. And then we got another one coming up here before we get Josh in that I got some other additional great background information on. The other thing, I don't think that people write a lot of, outside the Toby Keiths of the world, I don't think people write patriotic songs now the way they did. You know, after World War II, everybody was in a patriotic mood. It was just a different time. Let me do some business, we'll do some news, and we'll pick it back up after the news top of the hour. Ballast Dental Care, I'm a 45-year patient there. I know a thing or two about, you know, the farmer's insurance with you. We've seen a thing. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Well, I know a thing or two about Ballast Dental Care after 45 years as a patient. Oh, 45 and a half coming up real soon. And I know that there are a lot of other dentists and a lot of other clinics, and a lot of them have the same stuff. The little suction thing that hangs in your mouth and the little bowl that swirls water in the cup, and they have all that. They don't have the people at Ballast Dental Care, though. Only one place has them, and that is what makes the difference. That's what enables you to go to one appointment and walk out thinking, hey, I will never dread going to the dentist again. You think I'm kidding? Make the first appointment, even if it's just a general checkup. Your teeth are in great shape. You saw a dentist 6 months ago. Make an appointment. You haven't seen a dentist in 20 years? Absolutely make the appointment. Ballast Dental Care. They're at the corner of Ballast and Clayton Roads. BallastDentalCare.com. It is Whew, 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Jim Hayes. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. Stocks are tanking on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average plummeted 602 points today. Apple led a tech industry rout. CNBC's Dominic Chu says there are other issues as well.
That is really about slowing down growth in the world. China is a big part of that picture, so the ongoing trade dispute with them.